So this week is Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov sends Malochim, angels, in front of him to his brother. You know, the Medrash has a lot of difficulty with this. What would you go sending to your brother for? Where did you bait? Who asked you to go shepherd with your brother? Your brother's leave him alone. He's mad at you. You stole his brochas. You stole his bachur. You stole his firstbornhood. You stole the blessings. Leave him alone. What are you chepering with him for? Where did Yaakov Avinu get this thing that he's got to involve himself in any way with his brother Esav? Why? What bug? You know, we see so often in Jewish history that the best way of dealing is not dealing. And why would we go out of our way to, like, engage with Esav? What could Yaakov have with Esav? So the answer is Rachel. Rachel stole her father's idols, his fetishes. When Yaakov was leaving, it says, Vatignoiv, she stole, and immediately afterwards, it says, Vayignoiv Yaakov, and Yaakov stole a slave Lovan Arami, Vayivrach, and he fled. So, before Rachel stole her father's trophim, he just was going to leave, you know. But as soon as Rachel, Vatignoiv is a trophim that belonged to her, she steals these fetishes that belong to her father, the next pasuk says, Vayignoiv Yaakov is Lev Lovan Arami. Yaakov steals, Yaakov cheats him, but not telling him, Kiboy Reachu, that he's fleeing. Yaakov wasn't fleeing, he was going home. He didn't steal anything. Fleeing? So the Nois Deshe says, yeah, because Rachel and Yaakov are one flesh, and she stole something. So Yaakov Avinu's whole point in leaving is because he sees his father's face. It's not like it used to be. And we were learning many times that means that Lavan no longer had any chen. There was nothing nice left in Lavan. Anything holy was gone. So as soon as Yaakov realizes there's nothing left, there are no holy sparks left here in this place, it's time to go. So what does Rachel do? She thinks to herself, how's my father ever going to be fixed if we leave? We're never coming back. And she thinks to herself that maybe it would be a good thing if she steals these things. Lavan comes after, and when Lavan will meet Yaakov again, he'll realize what he's losing. And he'll have a thought, he'll have a machshava, a hirhur of teshuva. Maybe it will be enough to fix his whole soul. You know, sometimes just a thought of teshuva is enough. But if he doesn't encounter Yaakov again, he won't know, and he'll be lost, and he'll just go through the rest of his life without having a teshuva. So she steals these terafim, and now Yaakov is connected with Lavan. And you know, the truth is, Lavan didn't need to be fixed. He just needed to be left alone. And sometimes when you try and fix something that should be left alone, it sticks to you. So now Yaakov gets caught up with the same thing. And instead of leaving Esav alone, he tries to fix Esav. Achaproponov b'mincho. Maybe I'll send him all these things that he's going to send him. You know, the Ari notices in Posuk Tesvov, it says, Izim Mosayim, 200 goats, Utyoshim Esrim, and 20 females. What are the Tiyoshim? with male goats, Rechelim Mosayim, and the female goats 200, Ve'elim Esrim, and the rams 20. These eight words, Izim Mosayim, Teyoshim Esrim, Rechelim Mosayim, Ve'elim Esrim, all end in a mem. It's not that often that you have a whole pasuk of eight words where every word ends with the same letter. You know, Yaakov has these deep kavonos, deep intentions. You know, the kavona of the act is everything. But you know something? Esav, he shouldn't shepherd with. He shouldn't wake him up. He's asleep. Leave him alone. Once you try to connect in some way, even trying to connect is already a connection. You know, I heard in the name of Shlomo, Yaakov says to Esav, you're a fool, you know, you really got the blessing. And Esav said, no, I didn't, you got the blessing. You stole it. And Yaakov said, what did I steal? What did I steal? I stole the act, but you stole the intention. You know, if I say to my child, Shnukele, come here, I want to kiss you. The actual kiss is tofel. It's comparatively valueless and meaningless compared to the, come here, I need to kiss you. If I say to my child, here, come here, I want to give you my blessing, he's already blessed. Yaakov says to Esav, our father, when he said, Esav, ach will dich benchen, I want to bless you so much, you were already blessed. I got the words and the hands on my head, it was all very nice. And Esav can't stand this, because Esav is Amalek. And Amalek says, I don't care what the kavana is, what's the act? You see, Yaakov says to Esav, you know, if you really want, you could still have the brocha. All you got to do is believe that when our father wanted to bless you, you were already blessed. If you can dig the koyach of the kavona, of the intent, you could have everything. And Esav is caught on the horns of a dilemma. Because if he gives credence to what Yaakov says in order to get the brocha, then is it ayit? Because that's the whole thing about ayit. The kavona is everything. The mass is important. It's vital to do the mass, right? If I have all the kavonas of putting on tefillin without putting on the tefillin, it's going to be schwer. But the kavona is infinite. It's called the shimush. Anybody who ever had sex knows that the tashmish is not the ejaculation, is not the important thing, right? The making love, the foreplay, the giving pleasure, that's infinite. Mamash, it's infinite and it can go on forever and ever. We could do foreplay with words, we could do foreplay with all sorts of things. And the mice itself, the act is worse. It's very finite. So Yaakov is trying to teach Esav. You know something? Esav doesn't want to learn. Esav doesn't want this. You know, every nation has an angel. What does it mean? What does it mean that every nation has an angel? It says, Vayivose Yaakov levadoi. And Yaakov remains alone that night. Vaye ovek ish imoy, and a man struggles with him adaloi sashach until the morning. Vaye ovek, the word vaye ovek that we translate as struggle, but it means to dust up. You know, I come from England, there's such a slang word when you're fighting, oh, they're having a dust up. Where does that slang come from? This posuk, vaye ovek, and they raised the dust. The Medrash says, till the Kisei HaKovei, till the throne of glory, the dust of their scuffling. What does it mean to raise the dust? Yaakov has the ability to raise dust to the throne of glory. That's what they're fighting about. See, this angel that Yaakov is struggling with, this is the sorrow shel Esav. This is the angel of Esav. How does he come to meet the angel of Esav that night? See, Yaakov is very afraid. It says again and again, and Yaakov is afraid. Vayiro Yaakov Mo'oid, the Torah tells us. And then he says, Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad Esav, please God, save me from my brother, from Esav, ki yorei onoichi, I'm afraid of him. So then he sleeps there that night, and he takes the mincha, he takes all the animals, and he prepares them, and he tells the shepherds what to say when they meet Esav. And then it says, Vayivosi Yaakov levadoi, and Yaakov is left alone. It's interesting. Before that, as soon as Yaakov is finished preparing the mincha, this offering for Esav, it says, Vayokom balailohu, and he got up that night. Why did he get up in the night? He got up in the night because he'd gone to bed hoping to have a prophecy in the dream. When Yaakov was running away from Esav, last week in the Sedra, Vayetzi Yaakov mi'Be'er Sheva, Vayilachrona Vayolem Bamokim, he slept there, Vayachaloim, and he dreamt. And he dreamt the ladder. So now he's terrified of Esav again. So he goes to sleep hoping that he's going to have another dream in which God tells him not to be afraid. And what happens? Nothing happens. He wakes up. So the Neus Deishin notices that in this pasuk it says, Vayokom balailohu. There are three times in the Torah where it says balailohu. The first time is by Loit. It says, Vatashkena saviyam balailohu, that the daughters of Loit gave their father to drink until he got drunk, and they slept with him, right? And it says balailohu, not balailohahu, which is would be proper, that night, but balailohu, which translates as that night him. And Rashi brings down the Medrash. Where did they have wine from? There was wine there in the cave, ready, from the 6 days of creation that God had laid there so that they could get their father drunk, so that they could do what they needed to do. So God is involved, because the nitzutz, the spark of our mother Ruth, has to come down into the world that night, because she's the great grandmother of Mashiach. So balailohu means, the who is him, is God. The other time we find it is last week in the Sedra, where Leah goes out to meet Yaakov after she's hired him for the night, and she's given the doidoim that Reuven, these mandrakes or whatever, the jasmine, and she's given it to Rachel. And it says, Vayishkav imo balailohu, and Yaakov slept with her balailohu. Again, it doesn't say balailohahu that night, it says balailohu. And we learn from there that God is involved here. And Chamor Gorem, there's all kinds of medrashim about how did Leah know that Yaakov is going to be passing. So the donkey that Yaakov was on started to bray like crazy, really loud. And Leah went out and said to him, I've hired you for the night. He didn't want to go. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, that Leah was dressed as a prostitute. he thought she was a prostitute. The same, it's a very similar kind of story to the one with Yehuda and Toma, that Yaakov was overcome with lust and he had to go and follow Leah into the tent. And that's the meaning of Balayla Hu, that God was involved because the neshama of Yisachar had to come into the world, and that was the night. That was the night when Yaakov and Leah became soulmates, and that was the night that the neshama of Rabbi Akiva comes down into a body. Now here, in this week's Sedra, have it again. Vayokom Balailahu. So the Noiz Desha says, what's happening here is that God has entered Yaakov on a deeper level. That previously, up till now, Yaakov needed to be told something. He had a question, he had a fear, God needed to speak to him. But that wasn't that story of the dream, that he sees the ladder and God tells him, I'm with you, Shmarticha, I'm going to guard you, all this, that's the lowest kind of level. Now, Yaakov is reaching a deeper level. And so when Yaakov wakes up, it's Balayla Hu, because Yaakov doesn't realize that God is now in him in a new way. God doesn't have to communicate with Yaakov in order to tell him something. This is how you're going to deal with Esav. Something has happened. Like the Medrash says, he's melabe voice ka'ari. It's a Medrash in Shir HaShirim. That God is melavavoy ka'ari, that God now fills Yaakov like a lion. And so Yaakov doesn't get a prophecy. He wakes up thinking, how? What's the matter? God, why God? God's not talking to me. Not realizing that now he's internalized God in a whole new way. And he encounters this angel. And he vanquishes the angel like a lion, right? Because this is the new prophecy. This is the new Yaakov. So what happened? What did Yaakov experience? This is unbelievable. Pshis Chatoira. The Rebbe Rabbinim says, Vayivose Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov is left alone. Bo lebechinas shirayim. He becomes shirayim. You know what's shirayim? Leftovers. When it says that Yaakov is left alone, it means Yaakov starts to experience himself as leftovers. What are leftovers? You know, when you go to a Rebbe, we had this week, interesting, we had this week in our shul here in Los Angeles, we had the Biala Rebbe. Such a sweet man. So the Biala Rebbe is directly descended, Ben Achaben, from the Holy Yid, the Yid HaKodesh. The Holy Yid of Pshischa. And Mamish, I felt this Torah when he gave me Shirayim. I put out my hand. There was a Kiddush after davening. And he ate a little piece of fish, a little piece of kigel. Put out my hand. And he looks at me and he nods, yeah, 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 yeah. And he takes not one piece of cake, not two pieces of cake. He was gathering pieces of cake. Here, noch, noch. Right? Big handful. And he puts them into my hand. Here. And Imamish felt like, gewalt. You know, in Pshischa, there was no such thing as these shot glasses. I mean, like, you want to wish somebody a lechayim, you can't do it in a shot glass. But the whole point of a shot glass is just to make sure I don't give you too much alcohol, right? Just I mustn't give you too much, right? The whole idea of a shot glass is of tzimtzum, of kamtzonis, make sure, you know, not to pour too much. In Pshischa, if you want to give somebody a lechaim, you take a glass, a full-size glass, and you pour in a lechaim. Because if you're wishing somebody the fullness, there has to be room. There has to be leftover. What does it mean, shirayim? A Rebbe eats. The Rebbe eats the food. So he takes what he needs for his gashmias, right? For his physical self. Takes a little piece. So what's left over? what's left over has the bechina of pure that doesn't need to go through any kind of fixing, just as the Rebbe needs to eat because his body has to have physical sustenance, so the food needs to be eaten, because the food also has to go through a process of becoming holy. So when the tzaddik eats the food, the tzaddik takes what he needs from the gashmis, from the physical world, to sustain himself, and then that physical world is fixed, so that what's left over of the food is fixed. It's completely fixed. So the chassidim, anybody who has seichel, you reach out your hand and you ask the Rebbe for what's left over. The chassidim call that shiraim, the leftovers. Yaakov experiences himself in this moment as shiraim vayivosi Yaakov levadai. He's a leftover, which means he experiences himself as being after the fixing of the world. He wakes up with some new awareness in himself. And the Rebbe Rabbinim says, Vayeovik ish imoy, immediately there's an angel standing in front of him to fight him, because an angel is also shiraim. An angel is also leftovers. As soon as a person comes to a spiritual realization, immediately he finds himself with the nemesis, with the opposite, with the dark side of that realization. What's the difference between Yaakov and this angel that he's just met? You know, there are 72 names of God that come out of the psukim in Shmois, where it talks about Moshe holding his hand over the sea. Each of these three psukim has 72 letters, and from these 72 letters we work out, you know, these 72 names. The final name is Mem Vov Mem, which means a blemish, a crippled thing. The final name of God, of the 72 names, is a cripple. What does it mean? So the Ari says, we say in davening, Yoytze Mishorosim, God creates these servants, messengers, angels. Vashem Mishorosov Kulam Oimdim Rim Oilam, and these angels, they stand in the highest place. These three words, Mesharsov, Va'asher, Mesharsov, Va'asher, Mesharsov, Mem Vov Mem, these angels are the cripples. Why? You see, the sorrow shall Esav, this angel that is the Oifi, that is the gestalt, the genius of Esav, is very holy, but it's crippled because it cannot pass on the holiness, the essence of holiness, to Esav. What is the sorrow shel Esav? It's the ultimate gevura. It is the ultimate gevura, the gevura that can kill in the holiest, holiest possible way. It can't pass it on to Esav. It's crippled. Whatever it passes on to Esav comes out as killing in not the holiest way, in not a holy way bechlal. What is wrong? You know, the angel of the Germans, the angel of the Russians, the angels of the Babylonians and the Egyptians and the Chinese, it's such a holy angel, and it represents an aspect of God, a genius. It represents a shiraim. It represents some aspect of God that is, in a sense, what leaks out because of the infiniteness of God that impinges on this world. It's like God allows some part of his essence to just leak away, right? And this leaking, this is what this, in a sense, what this world is. These are all the difference, you know, every person that you look at has got a different face, has got different DNA. Every tree is different. Every leaf is different. Every cloud is different. Where's it coming from? It's coming from this leakage of the divine, the shirayim of the divine. Yaakov is so different from the Oifi of Esav that these two are mamish like mirror opposites, because this angel cannot pass anything of its divinity, of its pure holiness, of its sweetness. It can't pass anything on to its own flesh and blood, to Esav. Yaakov is the opposite. Yaakov can't touch anything physical without raising it to the divine. And the two of them look like mirror images of each other, and they're fighting. Yaakov is able to take the dust that is at the lowest place, you know, like dust is the sink. It's the garbage bin of creation, so to speak. It's like anything that has been ground down to death is dust. So you take something that was alive, or you take a rock that was a mountain, or you take, you know, you take a meteorite and you bam it through the atmosphere, and what have you got? You got, when all the heat is gone, when all the life and all the water and everything is, oh, it's just dust, right? For Yaakov, there's nothing that Yaakov can do that doesn't raise the dust. And there's nothing that this angel of Esav can do that will raise the dust. He can't even bring the holiness that he is for himself, for his own child, for his own Esav. He can't channel it because he's a cripple. And what's he trying to do to Yaakov? He's trying to cripple Yaakov. But he can't. How did Yaakov get to this stage where he was like in a fight with the angel? So there's an interesting madrash. You know, this week, somebody could take this Kol Simcha of the Pshischa of the Rebbe Rabbinim this week, just this week's few little Torah lechmim, the mamish, one line Torahs. And you could write a whole new philosophy just based on it. And the Radzina, when he was writing the Me'a Shiloyach, when he was writing down his Zaydas, his grandfather's Torahs, in the Hagdomah there, he says, you know, that my Zayda, the Me'a Shiloyach, he was the only one who really got the Torah of the Rebbe Rabbunim. The Rebbe Rabbunim is called the Rebbe Reb, right? Because all his Talmidim became Rebbes, but none of them were able to hold on to the spark of Pshischa, like the Ishbitz, who really got what was being said, because it was too radical. And you know, however holy Kotsk is, and is very, very holy, but it's not Pshischa Torah anymore. It goes back to the earlier Torah. It goes back to the Torah of the Rebbe Reb Lemelech. The Rebbe Reb Binam, he went off on a tangent. And this is what he says. There's a medrash. The Medrash says, "Vayiru Yaakov mo'id vayetzeloi." Yaakov was very afraid, and he was in trouble. So Reb Pinchas says, in the name of Reb Reuven, there were two great men whom God promised to protect, and yet they were afraid. There was the Bechir Sheba Ovois, the chosen one of the patriarchs, Yaakov, and the chosen one of the prophets, Moshe. The chosen one of the patriarchs, it says, Ki Yaakov Bochaloya. God chose Yaakov. And God says to Yaakov, Vihine Anoichi Imach, I am with you. That's, we had that last week, when he had the dream of the ladder. So God told him, I am with you. You have nothing to be afraid of. Ubesoif nisyara. And yet, here we find him in the Seder, very afraid. Shinema vayiru Yaakov. Habocha Shibin Nevi'im, the chosen one of the prophets, this is Moshe, because it says, Lule Moshe Bechiroi, if it wasn't Moshe, his chosen one. V'omalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to Moshe, Ki ehaye imoch, I will be with you. And yet Moshe was very afraid, because we're told in Numbers 21, Vayoyim Hashem Moshe al tiroi, so don't be afraid of Oig, of Sichon and Oig, don't be afraid of him. In Oim al tiroi, you don't say don't be afraid, elo lemishin isaret, unless the person's afraid. So even though Moshe was told don't be afraid, he was afraid. Then the Medrash continues, Rebrachar v'chel b'shem Reb Shmuel ben Nachman, b'shem Reb Nosson, Ru'uyim hoyu Yisrael keliyo b'mei Haman. The Jews deserved to be destroyed at the time of Haman. Ilmole shenismecho daton al das hazoken aviyem. If it was not for the fact that they could hearken back to the mind of their ancestor and say, Ma avinu, Yaakov, if our ancestor, if our father Yaakov, Shevticha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if God promised him, swore to him, and he said, I'm with you, Nisyara, he was afraid. Onu, we, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so are we justified in being afraid? So this, the Medrash continues. Hu shehanovi mekantes Yisrael. This is what the Novi means when he mocks the Jewish people and he says to them, Vatishkach Hashem Oisecho, you've forgotten God who made you. Noite shemayim v'yosed oretz, who stretched out the heavens and founded the earth. When you see the heavens dissolving and you feel the earth underneath you turning to dust, then you should be afraid. Not before. So it's an interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that the Jews in Haman's time deserved to die because they were afraid. And if it were not for the fact that Yaakov was afraid, then they wouldn't have an excuse for being afraid. This is a Medrash that goes almost completely unnoticed. So the Rebbe Rabbunim explains, what's the connection between Yaakov and Moshe and the Jewish people? He says, Yaakov represents the whole Jewish people. He's like, when he was on his way to Padan Aram, to Mesopotamia, he was all there was. And God said to him, I'm with you. Hasnish Moiritzobim, don't be afraid. So Yaakov doesn't have a right to be afraid, because for Yaakov to die means there's going to be no Jewish people. That can't be. The world, that's, what would, I'm going to die today, Yaakov should think, and then the world's going to carry on. Can't be. You're it. So if the world isn't dissolving, if the skies aren't turning to whatever, then why are you afraid? And Moshe Rabbeinu, he's like, Moshe Rabbeinu was the soul of all us 600,000 Yidden. Moshe Rabbeinu was like the heart of our heart. What right does he have to be afraid that he's going to be killed? It can't be. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, and the Yidden, when we were in Babylon, we've been taken into exile, we really believed that Haman's going to kill all the Jewish people. How could you believe such a thing? If you don't see the world coming to an end, how could it be that the Jewish people are going to come to an end? That would mean there would be some other kind of world. There can't be a world without the Jewish people. Can't be! For you to believe that the Jewish people are going to come to an end means that you've abandoned your faith. Because our faith demands of us that I mean, either this Torah is true or it's not true. The Torah says, you know, God engages with Avraham, and then, you know, he gives him Yitzchak, and then, you know, unfolds through Yaakov, and this is the story of the world, you know. It's not just a narrative, and we're supposed to learn from this to be better people. It's not, that's rubbish. It's Torah's emes. So this, we are the unfolding of the world. It can't be that the world should continue if the Jewish people are not here. So the Medrash goes as far as to say that the Yidden were chayev clear, that the Yidden deserved to be destroyed just for having lost faith in their own necessity to the universe. They deserved to, and if not for the fact that Yaakov has already committed that sin of not trusting in his own essential being, then we wouldn't have been saved. But you know, we can blame it on Yaakov. Say, well, our Zayda already, you know, committed this sin. Oh, this is a chiddush. This is not something that we're used to learning, right? We're always learning how we deserve to die, and if not for God's mercy, you know, like, and our sins were really so bad, you know. And we were learning on Purim the Ishbitz Torah from the Tiferes Yosef, Minayin Remez Lahoman Min HaTorah. Where is there a hint to Haman Min HaTorah? Amino Eitz, have you eaten from the tree? And the Radzina was saying, he was saying in the name of Izayda the Ishbitz, so what's the meaning of that whole Gomorrah? That when God encounters Adam after eating from the tree of knowledge, he says to him, have you eaten from the tree, right? It doesn't mean God's asking him, have you eaten from the tree? Means, do you really believe, Adam, that you could have eaten from the tree of knowledge and destroyed yourself if I wasn't there with you, if I wasn't taking care of you? How could you believe such a thing? How could you believe that I would bring you into this world and then, you know, impute you in this primal sin from which you've ruined Do you think if I really commanded you not to eat, you could eat? That's the sin. The sin is not the eating from the tree of knowledge. The sin is the eating from the tree of knowledge and then falling into this deep depths of despair. And the Gemara says, that's Haman. Minayin remez l'Haman in the Torah. Where's there a hint at Haman from the Torah? Hamin ha'etz. Have you eaten from the tree? Don't read it Hamin, read it Haman. Because Haman, and the Rebbe Rabbinim says, this is why this Medrash doesn't say, why did the Yidden deserve to die at the time of Achashverosh? It doesn't mention Achashverosh. It says, in the time of Haman. Because that's what Haman does. Every time we blow it, we make a mistake, something, he comes and says, it's ruined, it's finished. You're never going to fix this. And the sin is not the mistake that we've made. We're born with these ravenous yitzrim, these desires, these overwhelming desires. The sin is then falling into this despair, this sadness, this depression, from which you can't climb out. You can't worship God. I feel so bad. How could I then stand there in shul and speak to God, Baruch Atah? Well, what am I? Who am I kidding? Baruch Atah, what I don't believe. I'm going to go out there and eat pork this afternoon. I'm going to a business meeting and I'm going to go on Shabbos. And like, how can I stand here in shul and then have an aliyah? That's Haman. And that's why the whole fixing of Purim is about Simcha. What's the connection, right, of all these Yomim Tovim, of all these festivals? We've got the Purim is the one about Simcha, Lahudim Hoysa'ir, Simcha, V'Sosoin Mikar. Because if Haman is dead, it doesn't mean there's somebody in a coffin being buried. If Haman is dead, then I'm experiencing joy. Then I know that even if I bow down to an idol in the garden of Achashverosh and somebody said to me, here, you see, I can go later and say, what a mistake that was. Here, let me come worship God. And I can dance Simchas Torah with the Torah and not say to myself, hoy, what right do you have to be dancing? You did so many sins all year, you didn't broke the Torah. That's Haman speaking. So, Yaakov Avinu, when he wakes up, Vayokom, Vayokam, and he gets up that night and he wakes up with these amazing koichos, with his superhuman strength. You know what this superhuman strength is that he wakes up with? He wakes up with joy. And that's enough to vanquish this angel who wants to drag him down and tell him, Yaakov, look, you can't do one holy thing without some gashmis, without some physical pleasure or some ego in it. And it's true. Yaakov can't do anything without some physical something in it. And that's how he raises the physical something to the throne of glory. But now, instead of being down, instead of being knocked, having the wind knocked out of him, with this realization, Yaakov laughs at the Malach. And there's one thing the Malach of Esav can't stand, and that's laughter.